I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. How much does the tedium of monotony affect your prayer life? How much does the tedium of monotony affect your prayer life? Because your relationship with the Lord, like any relationship, will go stale if it just, you know, gets in a rut and stays in a rut and nothing fresh comes into it. So we are, we're still the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is doing his apprenticeship training, and we're sitting under his teaching as his disciples. And when we left off, Jesus had warned his young apprentices of a certain way not to pray. You may recall, he said, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And that's, we stopped with a couple thoughts on that, but I really want to look into this, do not keep on babbling business here. I used to have a babbling prayer, and maybe you shared it. It was innocent, and I think the Lord enjoyed it to a point. And I prayed it every night as a kid. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake. Pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy if you can. Brucey, grandmas and grandpas and everybody else. Amen. And I would, the older I got, the faster I rattled through that thing and just got her done. And that's babbling like a pagan. That's what that is. Why would he need to tell his young disciples to do not keep on babbling like pagans? Because they babbled like pagans. It's pretty obvious. For 500 years before Jesus, give or take, the customary prayer of every devoted Jewish man had been the Amidah. I've talked about this before. 18 separate parts to the Amidah. Now there's 19. They've added one since Jesus' time. It takes about 10 minutes to recite. And it was repeated, and it is repeated, 3 times every weekday, 15 times a week. And if you missed one, you're not off the hook because you have to double up the next time and say it twice. That would be in a very miniature way, like saying, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for his food. By his hand we are fed, thank you for our daily bread, amen. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hand we are fed, thank you for our daily bread, amen. Let's eat. The focus is on the act and not the attitude. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's babbling. Now, the Amidah is beautiful. A lot of thought went into it. It's biblical. It's truth. But regurgitated in rote repetition 15 times a week, month after month, year after year, can really take its toll because they're human. And so many would, and still do among those who practice, many would babble through it as quickly as babble, focusing on the act, not the attitude, and thus allowing their prayer life to be driven into mechanical repetition by the sheer tedium of monotony. Even if the heart is right, I want to pray, I want to do the right thing, but my goodness, I got 10 minutes of praying to do here of the same thing that I'm going to pray in a couple hours, and then again in a couple hours. And so Jesus says, do not be like them. And I don't think we understand the impact and the forcefulness. Don't, I know it's been going on for 500 years. I know you were raised this way. I know you do it 3 times a day. I made a point before, I don't have time today, but I've, in another sermon, I talked about, and I think a strong biblical case can be made for why Jesus got away to pray. He hid from his disciples. They had to go looking for him at times. And they said, we're looking everywhere. What are you doing? And he says, praying. Why would he do that? And strong case can be made that he couldn't stand to hear them babble. And he didn't. And so here's where he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling. Do not keep on babbling like pagans. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And this is what we're really looking at today. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I've had so many people over the years ask me about this verse because it sounds like Jesus is trying to talk us out of praying. You know? Hey, don't you know God already knows everything you need? Then why do we pray? Is he trying to talk him out of praying? No. He's trying to talk him out of talking. And there's a difference. See, the Amidah is mostly made up of petitions, a wish list. Jesus is not saying to pray less. He's saying to talk less. And that can sound confusing if you only equate praying with speaking. But there's two types of prayer. There is speaking prayer and listening prayer. And both types are necessary for a growing relationship with God. For an active relationship, you need to speak and listen. But guess which type of those two, guess which type has the most benefit for the prayer? Say it. Mm-hmm. Listening. Listening. I don't mean to offend, but you could learn a lot more from him than he could from you. The trick is discerning when to zip our lip and listen. When you pray, how much thought, time, and effort do you put into listening, being still, just taking the time, getting in a place where you actually can, and trying to listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction and correction and comfort and impression and guidance and discernment and wisdom and on and on and on. Yes, it's really good to pour out your heart and say all these things, and that brings a relief. But it's nothing like the relief that comes if you then take more time to listen. And we're really bad at that, aren't we? Most of us. Maybe some of you are not, but most of us are really bad at the listening. He's not saying stop talking. Saying stop babbling. He's basically saying start listening. God's not hard of hearing. You really don't need to repeat yourself. He actually knows before it even comes out of your mouth. But he still likes to hear you say it. So Jesus, when he's talking about the babbling, I believe he's referring to what is called the sacrifice of fools. And I'm just curious, anybody remember me? I touched on this almost exactly 1 year ago. Anybody remember that term, the sacrifice of fools? Just curious. Good. That means I can reuse a lot of material once it's a year old. That's good. It is a phrase coined in Ecclesiastes in reference to how we approach God to pray. Very significant passage that we ignore. Go near to listen rather than to speak is what it could have said. But sometimes God just feels the need to be more colorful. To help us remember. Because that's basically the point. Go near to listen, not to speak. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. That's pretty straightforward, pretty powerful instruction that we all ignore. You see, talking is an offering that's best enjoyed in small amounts, like sin. A little goes a long way. I like to keep it current for the kids. How many of you know what sin? There was no better example. How many of you know what sin is? Okay, everybody over the age 85. That's good. a joke. It's a joke, and the only ones offended are getting close. I'm not looking there. my grandpa used to eat since then. And Kenny Bean afterwards, I said, what's it like? What's it like? Because they're so tiny and so awful and powerful. Perfect description. He says after, he says, you know what they're like? They're like little briquettes of black perfume. And that is exactly what sin's like. Tiny one. Oh, I don't even think they were, they're from the 1800s and they still sell them. I don't think they were invented, this is off script. I don't think they were invented to be enjoyed. I think they were invented to cover up the smell of booze. And that's what my grandpa used them for. And so, it's okay, he's gone. So, wow, I'm just digging deeper. Stop me, somebody. Oh, well that, boy, am I making the case for the next line. Let your words be few. And your ears be open. Oh, doc, physician, heal thyself. What do you call a friend who won't listen? Why would you call a friend who won't listen? You wouldn't call a friend who won't listen. They won't listen. You're not calling that friend. And you're right. That is not a friend. So what kind of friend are you to God? Because he sure listens to us. He's a good friend. He's a friend of sinners. If you want your prayer life and your relationship with the Lord to grow and flourish like never before, become a good listener. I said, it's so simple. Just, if you want to learn to let the anxiety go, stop talking. Actually give it to him. And then rest. Relax. We don't know how to relax. We don't know how to relax with God. We think we're on the stage and we're performing. I got to say it right and I got to do it right. And this is what Jesus is coming against. How ironic that the Amida is prefaced with the line, O Lord, open my lips. Because they know what Ecclesiastes says, and so it begins, O Lord, open my lips, and then their lips open for 10 minutes three times a day. God's word often says, he who has ears, let him hear. But have you ever read even once, he who has lips, let him speak? I ain't in there. God's word is one of the chief ways God speaks. And we load that in. And then we ponder. And we think. And we allow his spirit to speak to us. You should get away. You should get away to pray like Jesus did. You should get away to wherever it is most natural for you to listen. Don't make it a religious thing. There's a lot of times during your natural day where you will be in places that are very, very easy to bring God into and listen. So now to the disciples, we got to look at this. So Jesus teaching them to pray. The disciples' heritage imposed strict disciplined practice of prayer. Besides this thrice daily Amida, there were prescribed prayers for waking, washing, eating, finishing eating. There was a morning blessing, an evening blessing, a bedtime blessing, weekend prayers, holiday prayers, special prayers for seeing a rainbow, for receiving bad news, for smelling spices, for eating fruit, and I'm not kidding, for every detail of the Jewish daily experience. Books of prescribed prayers. And a good Jew would get good at rattling those babies off. And that's not even the church-going prayers. That's just the daily life prayers. And then you got the Amida, about 10 minutes three times a day. So it isn't that these young disciples didn't know how to pray. Seriously, they didn't know how to stop. They didn't know how to stop talking. And that's our problem too. We don't know how to stop talking at God. Because we've been duped. We've been duped, deceived into believing that the sacrifice of fools is prayer. Or vice versa. We've been duped into believing that prayer is the sacrifice. It's me talking. That's what prayer is. It's me talking. It's me talking. And yes, a little sin. And I love that they're called sin. A little sin is us talking. And the lion's share is us listening. Slowing down. Taking a breather. This is what we're not good at. Being still. Pondering. Reflecting. musing. See, it isn't God who changes through our prayers. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's us. We're the ones who change through prayer. And that's why listening prayer should take up the lion's share of the time we spend enjoying God's company. With speaking prayer, the lesson is to lessen and listen. And to get away with God. To keep the relationship fresh. I mean, that's how relationships work, right? He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit. He speaks through his people. So how do you best slow down and let the Father speak to you? Like this? Or this? Or this? This is good. When you're working, especially working with your hands, doing something where your mind can bring God into it, where you can ponder. This? Oh, there's a good place to pray right there. Listening prayer. This? Car. Cars. The car is a great little prayer chamber and worship center, you know? How about this? This depends how you're wired. This might be the best place for you to get away and let God speak. How about this? Another great place. Had somebody thank me for a service. Thank you for showing the lawnmower. That is where I meet with God. Because I just, and God talks. How about this? Another great, oh, there is a great place to get away and pray. Listening prayer. This? Go back one. He is literally casting his cares on God. No, okay, sorry, just a joke. Okay, forward again. This? There you go, working out. Or this? Just relaxing. Just learning to enjoy him, to just not have an agenda. All great ways to get away and pray by listening, reflecting. And see, and so throughout the day, you have these moments. We just don't think to bring God into them. And we need to. Okay, so at this point, this is all the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to really get into it today. That starts next week. But we got to see what Jesus is doing here. Because Jesus shockingly knocks the religion right out of that Amidah. And some of you already know that the Amidah is just the expanded version of the Lord's Prayer. Said a different way, Jesus took the Amidah and just chopped it and took all of its sections and made his own Cliff's Notes. And the disciples were not happy. The disciples were offended and shocked. This then, Jesus says, this then, after he says, stop babbling, my goodness, just don't be like them. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's how you should pray. Allow me, please, to quickly read the opening praises of the Amidah. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. I'm going to read it for speed, not for feeling. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God and God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and revered God, the most high God who bestows loving kindness, the creator of all, who recalls the good deeds of the fathers and who brings redeemer to the Redeemer to their children and their children's children for his name's sake in love. O King, helper, savior, and shield, blessed are you, O Lord, the shield of Abraham. You, O Lord, are mighty forever. You are the reviver of the dead. You are greatly able to save. You sustain the living in loving kindness. You revive the dead with great compassion. You support the falling, heal the sick, set free the bound, and keep faith with those who sleep in the dust. Who is like you, O master of mighty deeds? Who compares to you? A king who puts to death and restores to life and brings forth salvation. And you are faithful to revive the dead. Blessed are you, O Lord, who revives the dead. You are holy and your name is holy and your holy ones praise you every day. Blessed are you, Adonai, the God who is holy. And Jesus took all of that and reduced it to holy is your name. Just say that. Stop with the thing, the babbling. I can't take it. And God's having an awful hard time with it too. You make the same point when you say, your name's holy. Hallowed be your name. It actually connects the heart and mind far more than that thrice daily playing, praying, playing, beat the clock. You have to understand how shocking this was. And you have to know that when it comes to regurgitated religious praying, your Father would much rather hear from you four heartfelt words of affection, true affection, especially while fishing. He was always fond of that. But to his flabbergasted disciples' utter disbelief, Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to punch out the entirety of the Amida in roughly 57 words. Your kingdom come. There's a section. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine the sheer volume of talking he is encapsulating in each of these lines. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray like that. Pray like that, not like the other. You know, they were used to spending about 10 minutes in their little tallit, in their little prayer chamber, praying. If they tried this, that would leave them approximately 9.5 minutes to listen. This new abbreviated way to pray was so radically different from what they had been taught all their lives by the rabbis that they respected, reinforced by John the Baptist, teacher of the law, the last prophet, that they simply couldn't do it. Refused to do it. Would not, did not do it. And this is part of the story. This is the rest of the story. That I don't think you know. How long do you think it took Jesus' disciples to come around to his way of thinking and actually agree to start praying his way? Give a wild guess. How long? A week? A month? A year? What's your guess? It was before he died. Before he died, yeah. They did come around. 3 years? 2 years? Well, between the two of you, you're right on. It's 2.5. Look at this verse. It's in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, this event takes place 2.5 years later. This is just a few months before the crucifixion. One day, 2.5 years later, Jesus was praying by himself in a certain place in his weird, peculiar way. When he finished, one of his disciples, most likely John or Andrew, because they were both former disciples of John, and they mention him. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. 2.5 years later. It's like he's saying, we're ready to let John's way go. We're ready to adopt your radically abbreviated fashion. And you look at this, you go, why would Jesus' disciples say, teach us to pray, when he had said, this then is how you should pray 2.5 years earlier? They couldn't remember, you know, that's 2.5 years. They couldn't remember. And it took them this long to break free from their tradition, stiffened shackles, and their rut. Okay, Jesus, we've watched you for 2.5 years now. We think you probably know the best way. Wow. Here's what's so crazy. It wasn't that it was too difficult. It was too easy. Seriously, it wasn't that it was too draining. It was too refreshing. It wasn't too religious. It was too relational. And so they couldn't accept it. And believe it or not, that's a lot of our problem with prayer. Legalism grabs every one of us by the ankle. Legalism tells us that God likes it more when we like it less, and it doesn't matter what the subject is. which, off script, and I don't mean to offend, but let's just say it like it is. That's why most churches around this world, even though we're told the joy of the Lord is our strength and we're commanded to rejoice in Him, most churches on Sunday morning feel more like a funeral service than a celebration. Because we're afraid to like it a little too much, enjoy ourselves a little too much. Because legalism tells us that God likes it more when we like it less. So what do we do with prayer? Well, we do our best to make it difficult, draining, religious, and legalistic. And then we wonder why we want to avoid it or babble our way through it. Instead of just making it fishing, or mowing, or driving. It's good to take time and focus on God. But it's also really good to bring God into your daily life and just listen to Him. Just say, I'm open. I'm open. Speak. For your son, your daughter is listening. And just watch where He takes your mind. Okay, back to the story, and let's wrap it up. It's about 6 months before the crucifixion. The disciples have finally adjusted to the idea, okay. We'll accept your radically reduced way. We will accept your easy refreshing, relational way. Hit us. Let's go. And Jesus is so funny. So funny. Because you know what He does? He cuts His own prayer in half by 50%, and He challenges them with an abbreviated abbreviation of the Amida. I guarantee they did not see this coming. He gives them half the prayer He gave them before. Oh, you think you're ready for an abbreviation, okay? He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Something like, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Like that, just something like that. It's not hard. This isn't rocket science, boys. Jesus, wait. We remembered it was short, but come on. Can we at least still do the who art in heaven? You know, the thy will be done and the deliver us from evil part? And didn't it have like this big for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever ending or something? What's He doing? Shocking them, as He often did. He's emphasizing that it's a loose outline, not a tight script. Because it's not about the words, it's about the heart. And it's not about how much is in it as much as how much isn't in it, leaving you time to listen. After all, the heart is often best expressed without words. And any time you and I allow God to speak to us in any way, that's prayer. That's listening prayer, the most important kind. And that's how we cast our cares on Him. And that's offering the sacrifice of the wise. And that's as far from babbling like pagans as you get. That is praying like children. And let's pray right now. Father God, our Father, we offer You heartfelt words of true affection. Holy Spirit, help us to listen for Your conviction and correction, Your comfort, Your guidance, Your wisdom. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray in a way that's wise and remind us to zip our lips and open our ears to Your voice above all. And now, God, it is time for us to speak praise. And so not only receive this, but speak to us even as we worship You. And in Your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.